Who is here for Guys, Games, and Beer? Who is here for free giveaways? Winter Gaming Classic. It's a podcast that has to roll a crit every time the bar tab comes in. It's Guys, Games, and Beer! Woo! Woo! It's a live show. We haven't done one of these in a while, huh?
It's
been about 6 months, right?
No,
we had to freeze and then re-thaw, you know?
Yeah, there was that. We haven't done one of these in a while. Well, we've got a couple of excellent topics today. They're very important to us, near and dear. We're going to have to start with the show beer.
Of course! Wait, the most important topic of the show!
There's three topics in this show.
So, I can crack my beer now, right?
Wait, we have to have the introduction about this.
So, today's beer, we're drinking from Mopcraft Brewery. They're out of Madison. They have a very interesting vibe to them because they are themselves the world's first fully crowdsourced beer brewery. Use those words. But we call them a beermocracy because basically people can go online and basically you can submit an idea for a beer. So see, you want something that's chocolate raisin, or you can submit a full recipe. You can go crazy with your ideas and people can vote on that. And they'll have brewers complete the recipe. So if you have a partially created recipe, they'll finish it. If you have a full recipe and it's voted on, they will brew it. But people can vote and pre-order on beers that they like, and they will actually make them, which is really cool. So it's a very unique process, and they've come up with some very cool and unique beers, for sure.
Travis, have you tried that?
Wow.
Oh, Larry.
This mic is not as good as I hoped.
Take mine instead.
I have not submitted a beer because my taste is awful.
Okay, so
what beer are we trying today, Rob?
I'm sorry, Larry, one more time.
Your boy.
Travis.
They're also a sucker for puns. This is Hop Goes the Grapefruit. And they had one in the past called Wheat Man Can't Jump. Apparently puns do very well. So if you want to get your beer produced, puns or alliteration is the way to go. Definitely. They had a couple of steampunk brews before, which were pretty sweet. I was actually drinking one on the show last year. We didn't talk about it, but again, the brews are pretty good. They're pretty quality. They actually have some really good brewmasters.
I can smell the grapefruit in this, guys.
I'm concerned about the salt. All right.
I can't smell anything.
All right, cheers, guys.
Woo! Okay, I'm good with this.
That's nice.
I would just say, so again, it's an IPA, but that grapefruit really cuts on a lot of the hop.
What? Really? What hop?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, there's a little
this
hop.
This is both
there.
Things
there's
I don't like, though.
Yeah. There's grapefruit a little hop in there. Still.
Yeah. We specifically chose this beer to torture Ben.
Thanks, guys. Thanks.
Here's two things you hate. You get to finish two of those.
Ew. But I think this
one. Denise hates even more.
No.
So you can really taste the wheat in it. I don't really taste much grapefruit.
You taste the wheat in that?
I taste a lot of wheat.
For sure. More
obviously,
than
you don't hate grapefruit enough.
Well, you know what? I hate grapefruit.
Travis, why do you have three of them?
You gotta take
Jonah can't drink, and this one is a mystery beer that came from somebody.
No,
that guy looks like he's over 21.
They gave me two.
That guy looks
that's
like
my son.
I already gave him one. All
right.
He is over 21. I checked. All right, so
let me see an ID.
Are there extra ones?
Yeah.
I will trade you ID for a beer.
Yeah, if you come up here with an ID, he'll trade you with a beer.
Well, hang on. Oh, no, let it back.
That's like Settlers of Catan over there. I'll trade you an ID for a beer.
Three sheeps for a beer.
Oh, yeah.
You are with 21.
Thanks.
That's all you, man.
Heck yeah.
I mean,
that's what you think.
All right, so
the podcast that just keeps giving.
Ted's gonna come up and grab one too.
Oh, give us a,
actually, no, there's somebody else here. So, Ted.
Yeah, no, Ted,
hey,
no,
Ted, you're
right. Don't hang out, Ted.
ID,
man.
ID. No. You got this?
ID.
Okay, ID.
And Ben,
I want the ID.
Should I? Yeah, we know Ted's 21, but we need to see IDs.
I really like it.
What, you like it?
Yeah,
I think it's okay, don't you?
I'm a huge hop fan.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's not really hoppy. Okay, so.
like grapefruit, so I would recommend this beer.
I would have to go.
And I agree with her, kind of weedy. Like,
yeah, thank you. I don't taste the weed. A lot part. Of weed in it. I don't taste really the weed part. Much
that being said, ladies and gentlemen, what do we think of this beer?
I think it's pretty solid.
Yeah, I don't
usually like IPA.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. How long has it been since I've done a down?
I've been a while.
I'm gonna tell you what. I think
the last time you did that was during the gingerbread or pumpkin beer.
Oh, the pumpkin beer.
Oh, the pumpkin beer.
Are they gluten-free beer?
I was going to say, that was the one time when I
No, I think it tastes kind of like a dirty sock.
Really?
Not my thing.
No. All right, well.
I'll still drink it, though.
Okay, so it's kind of a split decision on
this
one.
You'll either like it or you'll hate it.
Yeah. This would be another good summer. I would say in a warmer weather right now, this would be nice. Now, mind you, we're doing this in January, so it's not exactly warm weather. But I would say this would be a good warm weather beer.
It's like about an 80-degree day.
So it's
warm. About freezing. Okay, I'm good with that.
That's technical. All right.
Okay, so Rob, what are we talking about on today's show?
All right, today's topic is games you can play against the board, and this was almost a discard. This was a topic that we discussed for a while. We thought, I don't know if we can actually get a show out of this. And then Larry said, you know, I can talk about it. And one thing we know about Larry is Larry can talk.
That's true.
So we're going to let Larry and Travis basically carry this segment. Although I think Tom had some.
Wait a minute. Don't take me out of this yet. So I have a very good topic on this, all right?
Okay, I'm going to let you go, but I'm going to start with Larry, I think, right?
No, actually, we're going to start with Mel on this one.
Oh, we're going left to right.
No, we're crisscrossing.
We're crisscrossing.
That's right.
So we're going to start with Mel on this one. Mel, what are you talking about?
I am talking about Betrayal at House on the Hill.
Nice. Yes, thank you. Thank you very much.
Disclaimer, I know you're thinking, but this game is not about Congress. Okay? I'm glad you're starting because I have a quote to read from Board Game Geek about what is a cooperative game. Cooperative game's definition. Cooperative play encourages or requires players to work together to beat the game. There's little or no competition between players. Either the players win the game by reaching a predetermined objective, or all players lose the game, often by not reaching the objective before a certain event happens. So perhaps this is about Congress after all.
You know, when I was looking at these, there's a lot of games that are semi-cooperative where there's almost like a GM, and they're on one side of the board, and then all the rest of the players are sort of the other side of the board. So one of the things that, I think that's a difference in the game, and I think you can usually tell if a game is truly a cooperative, straight cooperative, usually I'll say, is if it can be played solitary. So sometimes you'll see a game that actually says 1-7 players, 1-5 players. If it's a 1-something, that is against the board. If it's a 2-something, it might be a side-based, or there might be one player that has to be the GM or something.
Right,
like that.
And that's definitely the case with this game. It is listed as a cooperative game. But it definitely is more of a side-based.
It's got 50 scenarios, so really the way that the game unfolds changes, and I'm sure a lot of people have heard about this. It was featured on Tabletop. It's pretty popular. But again, it's definitely cooperative in most sense, because on one end you're going to be ending up playing technically against another player. Sometimes you have a traitor. The game kind of evolves as you go through it. You start by investigating a mansion, and then after a certain amount of turns, they're called haunts. The scenario will unfold and you actually find out what your real objective is. So there are a lot of them that sometimes you'll play just against the board, sometimes you'll play against one person, against everybody else, sometimes it's everybody for themselves. I had one time where it was like, oh hey, find these parachutes, the mansion lifted up in the sky,
and
if you don't find
totally
a parachute, you're dead.
Yeah.
So it definitely unfolds a lot of different ways, but I definitely would consider that a cooperative board game.
I think it
part.
Is too, I agree. And I.
Well, isn't that you build the gameplay area?
Right. So you start.
With
this
each
is
other.
This is the starting game board. That's it. And you have a stack of rooms, and play turn goes around in a circle, obviously. And you roll dice, and you add rooms as you go from the basement, ground floor, up to the first floor. And every room has different things that happen in it, whether it's an omen or you could get an item, an event could happen. I used to kind of.
I like this guy.
Yeah, really. Bravo. Bravo.
Man.
Cheers. But it's a game that I used to feel like it's better to play with somebody. Like, first time I played with you, Travis, and it's good to play with somebody who really gets the game because it is quite complex and all its moving parts. But at the end of the day, I sort of feel like just to go methodically through the guidebook and just to do it on your own with just a group of
just
people
just
to read it and, absorb
it. You don't read it, you let the surprise. Again, I haven't even read all 50 pages.
Oh no, I'm not talking about the trader book and the haunt books.
Yeah, you don't want to ruin it by reading
about the
rule
books.
I'm talking about just the
game mechanics.
And I say that because I found that when I do that, I don't absorb the game as well as when I actually have to read the rule book and do it myself.
Yeah, I'm learning through, actually doing.
Yeah.
So Mel, how long does it usually last? Like, is it a quick game or is it like take a while? Because I like the games where you can sit and like really get into it.
It depends.
It does depend on the scenario. Again,
depends on the haunt you get.
Yeah, some games end in a matter of a few minutes. They're like, oh hey, second turn haunt happens. That's great. We can't finish this objective.
Yeah, you can't at all because none of the players have enough items to battle any monsters or the traitor.
That's one of the drawbacks of Stay of the Game. It can be very hit or miss. Like when it hits, it hits hard. You're like, okay, we need to do this. Your team's on the same page. You guys are like, it feels really good to complete those objectives that you need. But on the other hand, sometimes you get screwed with the haunt on the third turn and there's no way you're going to complete it. But it's a great game thematically, and I a lot of people like it. It's very popular for that reason.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. Let's go on to Kelsey.
Yeah. Oh, hey.
Kelsey, you're up.
I love when you do this.
Me?
Yeah.
Why?
Because you always like come up with something that I didn't expect.
Actually, I told Tom, because Tom was like, oh, I need your games. And I was like, what is this thing? He like told me. He's like, oh, it's games like this. I was like, oh, I'm totally going to choose Lead, because that's a classic game. That was the one game I could actually beat my brothers at compared to everything else. Because I would pick the route that you could get like the most kids and the most life tiles, and at the end of the game I'd win because I had more money.
Right. But again, how does that work where you have more kids and you get more money?
That doesn't work. How is this cooperative in any way, shape, or form?
No. We did not say that to be. This is against the board. It's not necessarily cooperative.
All right.
So
it's definitely a game where you're playing against
the board. Against the board.
Oh, I lost my job. Oh.
No, exactly. Like you get to like. What happens is you can either have like a really awesome house, and all of a sudden you'll get to something where you don't have insurance. And your house is broken down. Like, there's an earthquake, and then, like, you're screwed.
But
or,
the board does all the negative events against you, unlike
does.
Other players do the negative events against you.
And it's kind of crazy, like, what it can throw at you, because all of a sudden it's like, oh, your home flooded, pay this much money, and then all of a sudden you're broke.
You know, I almost feel like that's kind of a genre to itself of, it's almost like parallel play games, you know, where at the end you add up your score, and then whoever... you know, has the highest scores, like the winner, but you're sort of playing without much direct interaction with the other players, you know? And you're not playing it directly against the other players, you're not doing anything against them.
No, we're not.
But, you know, it's almost like parallel play.
You are doing parallel play. There are a lot of games like that.
See, it's
There's pros and cons to that, though. I mean, like, there's something just great about directly screwing your opponents over.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm that guy in your playgroup. Don't invite me, please.
Well, he really is.
Well, it's like the opposite of... life is like the opposite of Monopoly. You fight against the board instead of fighting against your friends or anything and just hate them resentfully. Because it's like, why did you pick Vault of Cavernum? It doesn't make any sense, dude. Like, why? It's like $50. Why would you do that?
That is classic against that, though.
Yeah.
All right, so...
Thompson.
Yeah, you are next.
That's Thompson.
Talk about this one.
Yeah. Hey, Larry.
Ooh, that's a big one.
Yeah, thanks. I didn't even get to start talking. You interrupt me.
Damn.
I'm letting that
record,
go, Larry.
New record. Well, I'm going to talk about Arkham Horror. I've only played it, a handful of times, 4 or 5 times. We've done it at camping events.
It's a tradition.
Yeah. It is a tradition.
They're playing it here. Obviously, it's a good game.
And my older brother is actually giving me a copy because he doesn't want to read the rule book. So he's going to give me a copy.
That is one
if
time
I read that the rule book,
lazy.
And then we're
going to
play it together.
I'm like, okay, I'm never really going to play that game without reading the rule books. I mean, it's... fairly intricate game.
Yeah, you have to know it very well, for sure.
Yeah, and that's definitely one thing that comes to, if you play with veteran players, it's a fun game, and you can roll with a pretty big party, and it's great, it's in this Lovecraftian style of elder gods, and you're running around the city, and you're...
Again, this game is really great thematically, and I'm sure most people here have already heard of it, and they're playing it here, doing sessions. Again, this is a truly cooperative game where everybody is on the same team, working against a goal where they will summonate, there will be a random Elder God drawn from the deck, and they have different effects. So there's a little bit of randomization to the game, but your job is to close portals and seal off these with Elder Signs to stop the Elder God from being summoned. And depending on which god you draw, it affects some of the rules of the game, as well as how quick the game goes. So, but you're truly working together, so this is cooperative in the truest of the sense. Again, it's great thematically. One of the drawbacks is, again, it is a little more intricate, so it's a little harder. But again, it's great. Everybody doesn't need to know all the rules. As long as you have one or two people who are veterans who kind of know everything, they can kind of walk other people through the game.
Potentially a much longer
time. That's how I learned. I didn't read the rule book. Yeah, I learned from other people playing.
But it's kind of challenged the pacing of that game sometimes, especially with large groups.
Yeah.
The turns sometimes drag a little.
Okay, wait. You know, tell me about your house rule, Ben.
With the house rule, because there's some elder gods that are just, they're too powerful to just attack with your six players, your four players. So you kind of need those eight players. And I think it's kind of more of a veteran house rule of like, if everybody knows how turns roll, and you're getting through with the beat, you can take on that super powerful elder god. Pull him off. Don't do it random. Just be like, no, we're going to fight this elder god, and we need eight players, because it's that, like Cthulhu, he's super powerful.
Larry,
right?
Maybe that's why we won.
That one ends the game if it's drawn.
Straight up.
But he's got a high doom clock, so it's harder for him to be summoned, and then he ends the game if he shows up. He's just over.
Well, then you can do it that, where now you're in a race against the clock, where let's not do it random. No, you just get X amount of turns. Let's bust this out real quick.
You know, I think that race against the clock, that time bomb element, is important to the feel of a cooperative game.
Yeah,
if you don't have that sense of urgency,
there's there's some good. It's not necessarily like, okay, it has to be a time bomb. The fact that this is how long it's before it's over. It's more about pacing in general. In my game, we'll kind of talk about a little more about that. But I think that it doesn't have to be like, okay, we have to finish the game in this amount of time or it's done. I think if just the pacing is done well, so you actually feel like, okay, you and your party is in sync, and like we're on the track to complete this objective or things like that. That kind of make it more fun. As a cooperative, because you really want to feel like a team.
Again, Arkham Horror's got a lot of... Again, that's a game you could talk about. Literally, we could do a show just on that particular game.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it really is.
All right, so this one's mine. A very popular game, Legendary Encounters. Again, the original Legendary was superhero-based. This one was based off the Aliens universe. It's the same kind of rules, but it's a little different thematically. They've got some extra rules to it. I think it feels really good as a cooperative game, and this is one that you're playing together for sure to complete a same objective. You either win as a team or you lose as a team. I played the original Legendary a lot, and it didn't get better until some of the expansions. Unfortunately, Legendary was a little slow, and you kind of felt like you were playing asymmetrically. You guys were playing to defeat this main villain, and you guys were like, okay, we're fighting these goons, we're fighting, but you never felt like you were actually part of a team. Legendary had some really good things where you actually have to interact with the other players. For example, one of the greatest things I think of is they got the facehuggers, and you're attacked by a facehugger, you can't get it off. Somebody else has to like get it off of you or you die. So there's a lot more interaction between players rather than the original Legendary, where you're like, okay, we're fighting together for the main goal, but we're all kind of doing it separately.
I think that's another important, element of a good cooperative
that you have to.
Yeah, there's some interaction between each other.
I do like a little bit of backstabbing though.
Yeah, I mean like
you can do that
in cooperative games. You're like, okay, you want me to help you? Oh, convenient.
I kind of like the Forced Alliance, not so much the we're all fighting against a common evil. I like the you're kind of forced and maybe you kind of want to stab them in the back, but
again, I have to say I really like this game. It kind of walks itself. It's not the easiest game to learn, but it's not very difficult either. I think it's a really good middle of the road game. The scenarios are really good. They're varied. You kind of mix things up. Combat's a lot of fun. And building your deck as you kind of go along to fight the Xenomorphs is awesome. It's just really good feeling thematically. You get that sense of dread and panic as you go forward. I think it's great.
Awesome. Larry's up next. Ooh, Larry.
Oh, okay. All right. So, for my against the board, I went with Forbidden Island. Now, if you don't know this game, the basic plot line is you're fortune hunters, and you've discovered where you can get some great treasure, but the island's a little unstable. And so, as you're there get all the treasure, it's literally sinking and will be gone soon. And
Are you describing your former dating life?
Oh! Yeah!
It's a tile-based game, and so the board, you set up the board and the treasures are in various spots, and as a spot sinks, it flips over to sort of in jeopardy. And then one of the things that everybody can do is they can take their turn to shore up and flip it back over, and so it doesn't sink on you, right? You can only obviously walk on land, and so once something falls into the ocean, you can no longer go through that path. So if you don't shore up key points, you may not be able to get to a treasure that is that's behind whatever water space is now opened up. Now, everybody has a different role, so when someone picks a role, you have to have a minimum of two players, which is the exception to the solitary, but it is 100% against the board, and but you have to have a minimum of two players. And each player takes a role that has different powers. So some powers might be a scuba diver. Well, scuba divers can go through water. That's their power. You know, that's their skill. They're a scuba diver, right? Someone might be an explorer, and they can take sort of adjacent turns because they know how to traverse things that other people don't. So they have movement, added movement. You have engineers who can shore up extra lands. And you really got to talk to your partner or whomever you're playing with and go, and you got to almost go, okay, this is the board right now. Let's plan three moves ahead for what we're gonna do to get out of here. Because you gotta grab all the treasure, get to the helipad, and get out of there before the whole thing sinks. And of course, if it sinks, well, you lose.
But you drown!
Well, except the scuba diver.
So, yeah, what, the scuba diver. When you say that it like flips, like the ground like disappears and you have water so, like ending up in your path, right?
Mm-hmm.
What happens if you spend too long of time in like the same area and all of a sudden you have area of water surrounding you. Does
you're
that
die.
You yeah, can't leave
die.
And you die?
Yeah, you're gonna die.
Okay.
You're gonna die.
I was like, are you just gonna die because you're like on a little island, not an island?
There is an exception if you happen to bring the pilot with. The pilot can fly to your location, pick you up, and then bring you to another location.
Oh,
but
maybe
you didn't bring the pilot.
Then you're
maybe
screwed.
Then you're screwed.
So feasibly, you can be partway through the game, know you're going to die, and still have to play it.
Well,
or just say, screw this, I'm playing the cards. Yeah.
Or the pilot could be Rob, and he'll just be like,
yeah. It's just drunk Larry. It's just noob. I'm going to leave him there. Let's go get a beer.
I would never leave the noob.
And no.
Debatable.
You on the other
debatable.
Hand,
you lady,
I played this game several times, and as far as pacing goes, there's always a sense of urgency in it. There's always a sense that, oh no, this is happening and this is happening, and you know, there's a lot of just in time.
The game builds very well. It kind of starts a few turns. You're like, okay, you get comfortable with kind of exploring and things like that. It doesn't, in your face off, it builds up very slowly. And then it's just like, oh, crescendos. And it's like, all right, we have to get on the move. And I think it does a good job for newer players and veteran players alike kind of pacing. And I think that does really well.
When I first looked at this, I sort of had, I was a little turned off because it looked a little... like maybe a but it really is a good one, and it's sub 20.
I'm glad
sub 20.
All right, so I am gonna go old school for against the board, okay? And this is literally against the board, okay? 1981, Milton Bradley released a game called Dark Tower. It's kind of
1981. You're old.
I am really old, okay? this is kind of at the very height of the Dungeons & Dragons craze. This is truly against the board game. It's 1 to 4 players. You can literally play one player, like we talked about earlier, if you're playing against the board. It really should be able to play one player.
If you don't have any friends, you can play the game.
Oh, God, thank God. If you have no friends, my life, you can actually play this game. It was a very well done, very early computer game. Milton Bradley stole this from some other company.
You said computer. This is a board game.
No. There is a computer. Tower, the Dark Tower in the center, is completely computerized. Now, it's really cool because back then, you don't have LCD displays. You have LED as your height of technology. But they did this amazing artwork, and they had lighted artwork that would show up on this tower. And the artwork for this game is amazing. Let me see if I have any examples of it. Maybe not. What the heck?
That's a good example.
Oh, no. There's some of it down
here. This is the Android app.
This is the Android app, but that is the actual art from the original art game. So the idea of this game is basically you have a group of warriors. You start out with 10. You're trying to work your way to the tower. You can stop and raid tombs. You can go to the bazaar and get extra warriors, buy provisions, outfit your thing better. You're trying to get to the tower and then seize the tower back. There's a whole backstory that goes with it about a wizard who steals, and you go to the 3 keys and all these other things. Even the storyline is really good for this game. It's better when played with several players because you get to walk around the different kingdoms and gather up the keys that you need to get into the tower, and then you have to answer the riddle of the keys. They did a great job on this game. Now, I'm going to tell you guys, it's a great game. If you can find it, a working copy, it's running about $150 right now, secondhand.
It is expensive, but there are game libraries at cons that have it.
Yeah,
I know the Gen Con game library has it.
Three copies of it. Okay,
two copies.
Literally, it will run you anywhere from $150 to $500.
But working in full, both of them working copies.
Yeah, so it's really hard to get a good working copy of this. Now, here comes the cool part about this. Even if you can find just a non-working copy, pick it up, because there is something called Droid Tower for your Android phone, which is an absolutely brilliant version of it. You got two possible options with this. One, you can play it as the full game. It'll do the board for you, the whole nine yards. But if you have the old board game, your phone will act as the original tower, and they did a really good job copying the AI on that. Works perfectly. The audio's perfect. They copied the original graphics from the game, all the original audio from the game, and when I do original audio, beeping and clicking and all sorts of amazing noises. But it's well worth the download. It's a free game. So I would definitely say
that was my question.
The free game? Yeah, free. It's free. Come on. Anytime you can get for free. If you haven't played Dark Tower, download it. Give it a try. It's really well worth the play. I am going to kind of keep this short because I think I'm the last one on this one. And I think we're about time to go to break.
There was like a kid's version of this called Enchantment Palace.
Yeah, there was.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I was looking it up. I was absolutely sure that they made a kid's version. I had to go look it up.
Yeah, they did.
They also made Pretty Pretty Princess.
So, when we say we're going to go break, what are we going to do, Ralph?
Well, what we're going to do is we're going to bust out Larry and we're...
And Denise?
Yeah, are we going to bust out Denise? Yes, there she is.
We're going to do Mrs. Drunken Larry. Mrs. Drunken Larry.
Yeah, so for those of you who have not watched the podcast, Larry is a.k.a. Drunken Larry, and there's a reason for that. Why is that reason, Larry?
Because he's drunk.
I drink a lot.
And that is Mrs. Drunken Larry performing here. They're going to do a little short musical interlude, and we will pick the show back up.
You know, one of the things that I wanted to kind of, like, give you guys a little sense of is the reason I actually wrote this song a year ago during when... Because Larry likes to go on these little gaming, like, weekend things, and I was like, oh, man, I miss my Drunken Larry. So I wrote this song, and this is actually the first time we're playing it out publicly, so I hope you guys like it. Ready? One, two, three, four. I got the gaming blues. My hero's out playing Halo 2. My
My internet's down. I got no light. I don't know how to win this fight. I've got the gaming, the gaming, the gaming blues. No matter what, I got no news. I call you up on the telephone. It just keeps ringing, cause you're not home. I've got the gaming, the gaming, the gaming blues. Can't afford baby shoes. We got a big flat screen TV, so you can play the Call of Duty. I've got the gaming, the gaming blues. You leave me home to play Bejeweled, to level up on my own. So baby, baby, please come home. I've got the gaming, the gaming blues. Love you too much to even lose. Let's enjoy drinks, chips, and cheer, so we can watch
Guys Games and Beer!
Guys, games, and beer.
Okay.
All right.
I'm going to get a drink before we get started here. So,
you drink?
Woo. Wait, Rob.
Yeah, I can use one.
Drunk in here.
Messing around, brother.
Hey,
yeah. I feel one up.
You are kind of one up on that.
Well, you got like pretty stuff on there, though.
It's quite good. Yeah, that's good.
What is it?
No, it's not JMO, but I'll go with that.
What do you think it is?
750.
Could you guess?
Gin and tonic.
Okay,
next topic, guys. We have we are running out of time, so. All right.
You want?
Not fine.
Short and sweet.
Short and sweet.
Short and sweet.
Yep. Great game's coming. Little packages.
And we have a guest to start this out, so I'm going to have you come up here. And when I say we have to move it along, so. You get to talk about your product first.
I can talk about my product. I get to sit here and listen to myself talk.
Face the audience.
Would you like a mic?
Give him a mic and face the audience.
It's kind of
nice kilt.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Love it.
That is good.
Yeah, it's delicious. Yeah.
I have three of them, actually.
Woo!
Okay.
My name is Scott Ashcraft. I'm the owner of Pickup and Go Games. We have a vendor booth outside. I've been doing this for about 2-3 years now or so. And me and my friend James Jeffrey, we made a card game called The Heroes of Shalaria. It's based off of my personal campaign world, and we translated that into a card game by saying that you don't necessarily need big 400-page rule books to have fun with a game. So we made a simple card game based on that same idea. And you pick a hero. Out of the deck, there's a fighter, there's a wizard, there's a cleric, there's a rogue, and I'm getting feedback.
No, just basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
Keep rolling.
Don't stop. Just keep rolling.
And when you select your hero has some small stats that are very easy to follow. Eventually, as you draw cards, you'll add cards like weapons and action cards and spell cards that add to their attack power. When you do so, you then go up against some communal quests, and you'll get points for completing the quests. Whoever has the most points by the end of the game wins. It's pretty simple. Game runs for about 10-15 minutes or so, 3-4 players, as little as 2. It can have that kind of frenemies aspect because you can go in on quests cooperatively or you can just go ahead and do your own thing. And unlike Munchkin, you actually can play it with 2 people.
And Scott has thrown a copy of this into our prize package, so there will be a copy given away at the end of the show.
Yes, there will. And this is a damn fun podcast. I love this.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We're good with that. All right. So we're going to go ahead and go down to Mel, your next comments. Mel, hit the gin and tonic first.
She hit the gin and tonic.
All right. Now talk about what you're going to talk about.
All right. Let me get him. Sorry.
The booze got in the way.
So, my favorite pack and play game right now is called Channel A. Anybody ever heard of it?
Oh.
It is a party game where you try to develop what you would consider a great anime based on the cards you get. So each player draws 5 title cards, and somebody is the producer, they draw 2 premise cards, and you have to come up with a title, not just a title for an anime based on the premise. So for example, if you go to Guys Games of Beer, follow us on Facebook or Twitter, I posted some cards this morning.
Stole your job.
Feel free to...
Just keep going.
So I posted a pitch on the page this morning, and I posted the card. So feel free to go to our Facebook page and come up with a pitch based on steampunk blazing something. I can't remember the other one now. Thank you, Jim.
420. That's what it was. 420.
Keep going.
So why this is in my kit right now is because it's just a really fun party game. It's very small. Both my kids like it. It's very creative. I like being the producer because then I also add the element of, okay, you're going to do an elevator pitch, or you're going to describe the trailer for your favorite anime based on the title of these cards. So it's a really fun game. Lots of, just loads and loads of variety from the very small game.
Awesome. All right, Kelsey, you're next.
So mine is the Game of Things. It can sort of be like apples to apples or Cards Against Humanity. So what you do is you get a card and you have to write out your own answer and you have to try to guess what each person's answer is. It can be clean and it can be too... very, very naughty if you look at some of the questions you had. But it's a real great time. I love it.
All right, give me one of the questions that you find kind of questionable.
All right there.
This one?
Well, read it.
Things that make you uncomfortable.
What is that one?
Splorge.
Things you shouldn't do when you are naked. Things you shouldn't pick up.
Splorge.
And things that would probably keep you out of heaven.
Drunken Larry.
Okay, but that's a good one where it doesn't cost a lot to get in. Good indie game. Nice start.
And you can pick as many people as you want.
So what is the maximum number of players on that one?
There is no.
Oh, there's no
players? Four to plus.
4 to plus, so.
Yes. Splorge powers.
Yes.
Thank you. Yes.
Yes. It is a great time.
It's over 9,000.
So I don't know if you guys know, but my favorite holiday is Arbor Day. No one likes Arbor Day. I love Arbor Day.
He's a holiday hipster.
I have no idea why at all.
This one it's tree, and yes, it is exactly what it looks like. Now you guys can see it on the screen. The black cards are your roots. The white cards are your tree. And it's a stagnant game, and... if people don't know how to, you know, do the rule reading, words are hard sometimes, but it's mostly this admin game.
You know how trees work?
I know how trees work. I know how rule books work, but they're really hard when someone brings you the game and then, you know, doesn't know the rules. Then you have a really great opening. No, it's a really fun game, and my thing on the card games is it's the mobile app without your phone. And that's the cool thing. You can just throw this in your bag, and it's a small box. You don't have to walk around a giant board game to have fun with friends, and it's real quick, real easy. It's a great game.
All right, Mike, awesome. You're up next.
My game is Guillotine, because...
Woo!
Oh, yeah. Some love in the audience from that one. Good.
That, so you get to... how many players do we get to play with that? Like
6.
It's 6?
Up to 6.
Up to 6, yeah. Well, you start off with, pretty much a row of people, and each one has either a positive point or a negative point, depending on what cards show up. And each player has a different kind of action card where you can play. Each one just plays one until, which moves like either like one certain card up. You can choose one card to like move 2 spaces up and help you out and get to the higher head count.
What's the important part?
Chopping people's heads off.
Collecting heads.
Collecting heads is like the best part, and we play
it's
this.
It's a really cute game for someone so gruesome.
It's so adorable.
It's an adorably cute game about taking people's heads.
It's age 12 plus. I don't know why the plus is up there, but hopefully you guys do.
You gotta start the next generation of executioners.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep. All right. People are France. I think Travis has Scuba Boom.
So for my game, is a game I've been loving very recently, and basically I heard about it. One of my cousins works for Fantasy Flight, and this is basically the game they go to the bar and play. When they're like, okay, it's our off time, we're going to grab a drink, and they play Two Rooms in a Boom. The premise of it is it's kind of a social game, kind of like Werewolf or Mafia, things like that. But it's team-based. At the end of beginning of every round, people will get cards, and you're divided into teams, either a red team or a blue team. The blue team has a president, which they are trying to save the life of. The red team has a bomber, which is trying to blow up the president. Everybody gets random cards, and they are stuck in two different areas. It's better if you can physically divide the rooms, but if you don't, you just set them up to two different areas. And basically, you go through different rounds and trade hostages every round. So you'll kind of switch people around. And at the end of the game, if the bomber ends up in the same room as the president, the red team wins. And if the president ends up separate than the bomber, then the blue team wins. Like Werewolf, you get a lot of different roles, like spies or enforcers that kind of switch up the game. It's great. You don't need a GM to play. It's only, I got $25 at a game shop, like, bought it locally, so it's really easy to get, it's a lot of fun, there's a lot of replayability, so if you're into social games like Werewolf or Mafia, highly recommend you check it out.
How long does that game last?
It depends on the amount of players, but on average you're looking at like 20-ish minutes.
Awesome.
So they go very fast.
Is it like Bang where you don't know which person it is?
You don't know who is who.
Sheriff, I mean.
But unlike Werewolf, you can show each other cards or choose to show each other cards. There are some rules that force players to show each other cards.
Oh.
You can show part of a card. You can show all of your cards. But you kind of bargain with people in the room to see, oh, hey, you're on my team. Let's work to help blow up the president. Awesome.
All right, see, that's what I was curious about.
Alright, so Larry, you have a good one for tonight.
So, my small package,
You told me about this game!
Larry,
game choice!
Okay, thank you!
Is Gloom. Now, I even purchased a new version. This game has been out for a little while, and I purchased even a new version. I purchased the Fairy Tale Gloom version, which is compatible with the original. And basically, the idea of the game is, if you kind of overlooked it, it's a kind of an interesting game because you have a family that you select, and then the idea is to have your family die the most miserable they can be.
Oh, what?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
You
want your family to die in
a
miserable way.
Why?
And the other people who are playing, will try to make your family happier. That will actually improve their own score. So it's kind of this ironic thing. Now, a really key element of what makes this game really interesting to me is the translucent cards. So they see through, and then you lay cards onto other cards.
Ooh.
And it's kind of interesting that
way. It's like
way.
Magic.
That is actually very different.
That's cool.
It is really different. When you really get down to the gameplay, it doesn't get much more complex in a way than Uno.
Yeah.
But it just has this interesting element, and they have a lot of interesting sort of like things on the cards if you just choose to read them.
I'm going to take this mic away from you because you're talking too long.
All right, well, that's fine. So listen, I'm going to go to the next one, and we are going to talk about Werewolf. So,
this game is evil?
No, I'm gonna make it quick. So, if you have not watched our show,
wow. You have to give people stuff.
Okay, so if you haven't watched our show, one of the favorite games of this show is Werewolf. And if you have not played Ultimate Werewolf, Who's the Werewolf? They are all the same game. This is a great game for your non-game playing.
This game is evil.
Tom is always
yes!
a werewolf.
Thank you!
No!
Whether he has a card or not, the man is getting lynched.
I always do.
Not only that, but if your friends have a pact on you, and one of them is one of your teammates that are supposed to help you.
Okay, that did not go as scheduled. Talking about good things that come in small
still
packages. Literally, this is a game you can put in your shirt pocket, take to any party you're going to, and be ready to go with a really good party game.
Party?
Not that kind of party game.
Gross.
So you can literally put this in your pocket, go to a party, and have a game that you can get 20 people playing. And when I say 20, you believe me, we have had lots of people playing this game. We had 22 people playing at this particular game. Everybody had an amazing time. It's a great game. If you haven't played Who's the Werewolf, we are giving away two copies of it here tonight, so hang around at the end of the game. You have a chance to win yourself a copy of Who's the Werewolf.
Are you a werewolf?
Or, I'm sorry, in this case, are you a werewolf? Thank you.
Very good game.
There's a bunch of different names for it, but it is really an amazing game. We've done shows on it. It's well worth playing. Joey, you're
on that. You can learn in like 15 minutes.
Yes.
Jonah, I don't think it'll reach you.
It doesn't reach me. Okay.
So you're yelling. Grab the mic, Jonah.
You actually have to speak up this time, boy.
Yeah. All right. So my game is Conquest of the Stars.
We love this game.
We love this game.
So basically, it's 2 to 4 players, although you can get away with 5. So how you start out is you get 7 cards, which is your fleet, a bunch of ships, in your hand. And then you draw a planet, which has a score of 1 to 6. And your goal is to collect planets and get your score up to 20. 20 is where you win. And the thing about this game is you can only draw 3? Is it 3 cards? 3 cards?
You get 2 cards. You get 2 cards per round.
Okay,
no,
so
3 cards.
You get 3?
No, I thought it was 3.
3 cards per round. There's no way.
Anyway, you get some cards.
You can only draw cards on when you flip over the planet. When you start the round. So that makes this game kind of hard because you have to manage your fleet and strategically, you know, so that you can attack every planet and still try and win and not waste your whole fleet.
So why are you bringing up this game, Jonah?
Why?
Because
yeah.
You beat us all the
fucking time. Because, yeah,
I'm 3-0. Oh, yeah, you are, buddy!
That's not really that important.
Well, that makes sense.
Yes! You might say, hey, now you're
that is, by the way, Troy, the author of the game, who we met at Game Hole. If you guys have not been to Game Hole, another
Game Hole Con.
Game Hole Con.
Yeah, don't go to the Game Hole.
Go to the Game Hole Con.
Yeah. It's a very good convention here in Wisconsin, in Madison, Wisconsin.
Yes,
and Troy was a very nice and demoed the game and showed us how to play it.
Kicked his butt.
I think it's about time to take us out and get ready to.
Sounds good.
However, I am going to spring something on Larry. I do want to bring up a quick. And I'm going to take 2 minutes.
Do it.
Okay. The game is Resistor. It is a game of attempted thermonuclear war. Basically, you try to hack the enemy's computer. It's card based. You basically make a path to your enemy, you're able to flip cards. I have beat Larry twice in a row now, which doesn't happen because Larry cheats.
He cheats.
Generally.
He is never
going to get to play me again.
He does.
This is staying in the freaking pack.
Dinosaurs and bears and Smash Up. Come on.
Yeah,
come on.
But really an excellent game, by the way. And well worth, I think it's like $20.
It's cheap.
It's really cheap.
Yeah. A good pickup. Rob, take us out.
Graphics. All right. Thank you very much for watching, guys. Games of Beer. We're going to be doing a drawing in just a second. I'm going to carry us out, though.
Okay, carry us out.
Check us out at www.guysgamesandbeer.net. On Twitch, we're at Guys Games and...
Oh, no.
We're at Guys Games Beer.
Twitch doesn't like
there's Facebook, no Facebook, we've got stuff going all the time. We have game giveaways. It's www.facebook.com/guysgamesandbeer. All right, Larry, why don't you carry us out, my friend, and then we're going to give some games away.
All right. We have got all sorts of good prizes to give away today.